What if it was you that had to bear the onslaught of the devil? Well, the answer, of course, is you are, because we are still in the devil's arena in this world. He claims to be the God, small g, the God of this world. And he claims this is his territory. And every opportunity he finds, he will make use of it, and he will seek to bring down many souls. And millions are pulled down by the power of the wicked one. Men are helped to sin. Men are helped to destroy their souls by this enemy of souls. He is known as the destroyer. And those who are without a savior, well, they are fair game for the wicked one and all his antics.
Thank you for joining with us again on Let the Bible Speak. And today we're speaking on Satan's battle. His battle is to regain control that he has lost. But the believer's battle is to be one step ahead of the wicked one. Now in Matthew chapter 4, Satan did battle against the Lord Jesus. Our Lord was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the devil couldn't resist. He couldn't step back and allow the Lord to be quiet and alone. Satan is the arch enemy of Christ. There is within him such a poisonous hatred that he will take every opportunity to attack Jesus, the Son of God, and he will attack God's people. But here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, we learn from this incident how we may withstand the evil attacks of the devil. Let's read from Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Well, praise God, we have a victorious Savior who himself in the wilderness, while fasting, in a time which ought to project weakness, our Lord Jesus conquered every assault of the devil. And so we can put our trust in him. And so today, our message from the pulpit of our church is battling Satan. And I hope that you'll stay tuned now as we turn to this message.
Amen. We're told here in Matthew 4, verse 1, that our Lord Jesus was led up into the wilderness. Led into the wilderness. Now, the Lord Jesus was in the will of God. He was in the will of God in that wilderness. Let's take that as our first note tonight. Jesus was in the will of God in the wilderness. If you go online and look at pictures of the Judean wilderness, they would remind you of Cache Creek. You know what it's like driving up there in the summertime through those areas. You got hills going up, little valleys in the bottom, small little river and sagebrush, and it's dry, dry, and very hot. That is like the Judean wilderness. Inhospitable, a place of wild beasts, a place that is cold at night, burning hot by day, where there may even be roaring lions. And it was here, after our Lord's baptism, that the Lord Jesus was taken to be tempted of the devil. Now, when the devil came, this enemy who is likened in the Bible to a roaring lion, and he's going about seeking whom he may devour, we know that the devil had 4,000 years of experience. He was not new on the scene of the world. He was not for the first time to tempt someone to sin, but rather right from the very beginning of the world, the devil was there to bring down the first man. And now he is about, by his own schemes, to try and bring down the Lord Jesus. And out he brought every trick in the book, every method he could imagine, that he might tempt the Savior and destroy his whole ministry. Just imagine if Satan had been victorious at this juncture of the Savior's ministry. Just imagine if here that the Lord had somehow been overcome. Well, he would have had no ministry remaining. Now, we note the outcome, of course, that Satan was routed and he was defeated, and the Lord Jesus was declared victor. The angels came from heaven. They came down and ministered to the Son of God. And so I always like stories that you know the beginning and you know the ending. And you know that it is a good news story. And so while we are going to be talking tonight about the devil, the wicked one, praise God, we have a good news story that he is defeated. And while he is busy and active and seeking to destroy the work of God and indeed the people of God, yet we know that through the grace of the Lord Jesus, we shall overcome. I like that verse which says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when we feel the tempter's power near us, well, we can plead that promise and plead that victory in our own lives. Now, I have a question for you. What if it was you that was called to stand against that foe? What if it was you that had to bear the onslaught of the devil? Well, the answer, of course, is you are, because we are still in the devil's arena in this world. He claims to be the God, small g, the God of this world, and he claims this is his territory, and every opportunity he finds, he will make use of it, and he will seek to bring down many souls. And millions are pulled down by the power of the wicked one. Men are helped to sin. Men are helped to destroy their souls by this enemy of souls. He is known as the destroyer. And those who are without a savior, well, they are fair game for the wicked one and all his antics. Even the apostles, those who we would say were nearest, at least at one point, to the Lord Jesus, those who were in the front line of the battle felt the power of Satan. The Apostle Paul referred to that 2 Timothy 4, and he talked about how the roaring lion, the enemy of his soul, sought to destroy him and to bring him down. Now, think of how successful the devil has been. I intend to preach this personally tonight. There's no point in talking about people that are not even with us. But we look at our own lives and we wonder, has the devil already been successful to some degree? We have entertained wrong thoughts. And this is one of Satan's powers. This is one of his darts. The devil has the ability to plant thoughts in people's minds. He has the ability to lure and to attack. by planting seeds of thought within minds to provoke them to do things which are against God and destructive. And I think every one of us have been subject to that. Every one of us have known Satan's work in our hearts. And one of the instant telltale signs of the devil's attack is when it's a sudden thought, something that you never had spent any time pondering, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this thought comes. This thought comes to our mind and heart, and we are prompted and tempted to do things that really it's not even on the radar of our daily work and activity, and we are being lured to be destroyed. Then, of course, some give in and they do the devil's deeds, and we become slaves and servants to the devil. What a terrible confession when we have to go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I surrendered to the devil's temptation today. And we have to go to the cross again and plead the blood of Christ again and ask that God would cleanse us from that sin, or even from dwelling on that sin to the point of enjoying the thought of it for a time. And we have to confess that. Maybe we have conformed to those standards which please the devil and the kingdom of darkness. See, this is a spiritual battle that we are in. And it's not just a battle of building houses of bricks, of wood, and having a home and a place to live. It is the life we live right in that home. And a Christian home is a place where we live for God's glory. But where we let the devil in the door and we entertain him, and as one has preached many times, temptation is when the devil knocks the door. Sin is when you open the door and let that temptation in. And have we not been privy and part of opening the door to those attacks of the wicked one? Conforming to his standards. There is a great battle in the Christian church today to lower the standards of what it means to be a Christian. Antinomianism, this notion that the law of God has no significance in the Christian now. We're living under grace, not law. And there is a thing abroad today, young, reformed, and restless. And it is seeking to be reformed in the doctrines of the gospel, but to be like the world in the standard of Christian living. And it is reducing the church to the level of the man in the street. It's all very dangerous stuff, because we are really opening the door to the wicked one who just loves to attack. And then, of course, we ought to shy away from any avenue that allows the devil to attack. Have we? Have we firmly slammed that door and locked it? Have we resolved that we will not dabble in those things that gives the devil the advantage? And that's the language of the New Testament. Do not give Satan the advantage. Don't give him an opportunity. If you don't let him in through the door, don't let him in through the window either. Don't leave some latch unlocked that will allow Satan to come in. Is there any way out of this cycle of temptation? Well, for the Christian, of course, this is a good news story. And for the child of God who is trusting the Lord, there is victory. And there is power to overcome. There is no way out, of course, apart from the Lord Jesus. And that's why this story is so relevant to us. That's why this account of Jesus led of the Spirit in the will of God. Jesus entered into this temptation that he might do battle with the wicked one, and that he might get the victory to be a conquering Savior for us. Now, the great need, of course, is to bring that victory from the person of the Lord Jesus into my life and your life. And that is really the great need for prayer and to be in fellowship with God, When we call people to prayer in the church, when we say we need to go to prayer and the prayer meeting, we need to be men and women who pray much. What we're really doing is linking up to the power of God that we might overcome the devil. We are wise enough, I hope, to never say, I can handle the devil myself. That would be the most foolish statement you could make. Indeed, the Bible says that we're to flee from temptation. Resist the devil. Don't entertain him. Don't think that you can play around and get the victory in your own strength. So we're going to come to this passage tonight, Matthew 4, and we're going to see just something of the devil's working, and we're going to rejoice. And I hope you will be rejoicing as you go home tonight. I have a Savior that can keep me from the wicked one, and he promises to do it. Unto him that is able to keep us from falling until that day when he presents us to glory. And we're going to trust in him, and we're going to wait on him. So the first thing I want to point out here tonight is that our Lord triumphed over the timing of these attacks. And the timing is very significant because it was immediately after our Lord's baptism. And back in chapter 3:17, the announcement where God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so after that high peak of God the Father's commendation for his Son, and everybody must have heard that. That was a public announcement. When the Lord came up out of the water in baptism, the Father's voice was heard. "This is my beloved Son." And yet very soon after, he was in the thraldom of Satan's vicious and wicked attack. The other thing about the timing is that it was just as Jesus was to commence his preaching ministry. Chapter 4, verse 17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent." And so it was now time for the Lord to come out of obscurity. He came to the River Jordan. John had pronounced, "Behold the Lamb of God." The Father had pronounced, "This is my beloved Son." He is now to begin his ministry. Is it not significant that right at that point the devil comes and attacks? Right here the devil would enter in and destroy the future ministry of the Lord Jesus. And isn't it strange how the wicked one is right there when the hour is most poignant? How crafty the enemy is to do this, his utmost, right here at this very time. And similarly, many of God's people and servants have been attacked of the devil. And he has sought to destroy ministries right before they begin, even before they get off the ground. And the tempter will come along, and he will be busy to kill those very first desires and the first steps to serve the Lord. Maybe it's happened to you. Maybe you've thought about doing something for the Savior and stepping up to it. Maybe you've thought of consecrating your life totally to the Lord. And just then came the whispering works of the evil one and sought to attack at that very time. Another thing I noticed, that when Satan came to the Lord Jesus, he was at his physical weariest point. We're told at verse 2, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So he waited through the whole period of fasting. And when he was at that point, 40 days and 40 nights, I have read several accounts that those who fast for long periods, this is some kind of a weak low point. I would have no experience of that. I could never tell you that after fasting 40 days that I have felt at my weakest point. You would know that to look at me, wouldn't you? I've never gone a day without food. I've never had to fast for that kind of period of time. But some make this point. And here is the devil at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, right when he was an hungered, when those hunger pangs were strongest, right there comes along the wicked one, and he is tempting God. the Lord Jesus. I think that we should not be surprised when Satan comes to us at our lowest point, when we are at our weakest and weariest. Maybe we are battle fatigued. Maybe we're worn physically, weak, maybe ill. Maybe repeated health problems have worn us down, and Satan comes along to attack, and he would destroy. And weary souls at that point need the help of the Savior. And I want to suggest to you tonight that that's the point where you need to cry to the Lord. It's not the time to give up. It's not the time to throw in the towel. It's the time to lean on Jesus and to learn of him and to find your strength and your succor from the Lord himself. Now, it was at that point that the devil tempted him when there was this appearance of stones which looked similar to bread. Look at verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now, I would have to use a bit of imagination to think of what these stones would have looked like. But I don't think that it's a stretch of the imagination to say that from a distance, that those round stones would have the impression to a hungry man of a loaf of bread. And the Lord Jesus himself ministered in those terms that if you ask of the Father, he will not give you a stone if you ask for bread. And so there's this similarity. And Satan says to the Lord, "You could turn those stones into bread. Look at them. They're just like loaves. And if thou be the Son of God, you could do that." And here is the subtlety, the wickedness of the tempter as he comes along. And the devil uses the eye gate. What Jesus was looking at, these stones had a similarity to bread, and the devil used that, just as he did in the garden. Whenever Eve saw the fruit, she desired it and she took of it. And it was through the eye gate that the tempter got to her. Don't you be surprised that the things you watch, the things you see, the things you look at, the things you study, will be the thing that the devil will use to attack and to assault you. The eyes were the channel of temptation.
Thank you for joining with us. Well, question time on the sermon, and I hope that you have picked up on these few things. Firstly, what is antinomianism? Well, anti means against, and nomos means the law, and it is those who are against the law in the life of the Christian. As many take that statement, we are under grace, not law. Well, it is true that we're not saved by law. We're not justified by keeping the law, but the law of God is unchangeable. It is the moral law of God. It is the expression of God's character, and that law will never change, not like the civil laws or the Levitical laws of the Old Testament. The Ten Commandments, which summarizes the moral law of God, will never change and will always be the rule of life for the Christian. The other question I have is, are you depicted in those who are young, reformed, and restless? Now, this is an age of people when Reformed doctrine is resurging to some degree, and there are young people who are getting their teeth into the doctrines of the Reformers and the Reformation. And this is good. This is very good. But it ought to be accompanied by a godly life as well. Not just head knowledge, not just debating facts and doctrines, but rejoicing in them and living them. And if the gospel doesn't change your lifestyle, well, your thinking is still wrong. Now, another thing, have we resolved not to give the devil the advantage in our life? There are things that seem to give the devil the advantage. When we walk out and into expose ourselves in the devil's arena, we may expect him to attack us. We ought not to be surprised, because he will, out of the bent of his malice and his hatred against Christ, attack the Christian at every point where he gets the advantage. So keep your armor on and do not run out into the arena on your own, but rather make sure you have the Lord with you. The other question that we came up here today was, is there any way out of this cycle of temptation? And in this world, we're never totally free from it. Can we break the cycle of temptation? Well, the answer is an absolute yes. When you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh, when you put the Lord as Lord of your life, he will be your protector and he will give you the victory. Now, when did Satan attack the Lord Jesus? Right at his weakest point. And that's what we've got to watch for. In our weak points, this devil will come against us. And so, stay strong, stay in prayer, stay in the Word, and look unto Jesus at all times, and he will give you the victory.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.